Good Friday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, on KSIW up in Woodward, KADS down here in Elk City. Glad to have you along for the next hour as we get into all kinds of stuff. It's been a while since we've gone down this road, but we're going to do it at the end of the show today. What is that? We're going to find
Don't
out
say
what's
it.
On Jared's mind.
Been a pretty empty mind lately.
What's on Jared's mind coming up at the end of the show? Figure out what
we need like music for that.
Yeah, we really do. That way, it kind of like the Jaws theme. That way, you know it's coming when I
it's sneaking up on you.
Yeah, here it comes. Never know. So we'll do that at the end of the show. A bunch of golf stuff with the U.S. Open round one finishing as we speak. The marine layer affected the guys last night to finish. They had to suspend due to darkness, but they've all got just a few holes left in the first round. Some guy named Rick Lamb is tied for 11th at 1 under. He's got 4 holes to play, which is about the most of anybody. So you have an idea of where the leaderboard stacks up after round one here, and just by the time the show's over, with round two going to probably start as we're on the air as well with some of those guys that have already finished. So give you a leaderboard update. For some of you folks, nobody took me up on my offer. That's too bad.
What's that?
Bring me the money. You were going to bet on Phil Mickelson because it was a waste of your time and money. Take some shots at him while we're here today. Does the course need to play tougher with 4 under leading? Does it need to be harder? Who surprised you in a bad or even a good way? We'll talk about that. Also, our man Quade Cummins in position to make the cut up at Wichita on the Corn Ferry Tour. He was really in position early on yesterday with a few holes left. He scorched the course, but then stumbled a bit coming in. But he's in a nice spot heading into the second round up there in Wichita today. He'll play in the afternoon, so it'll be a while till we know if Quade's going to cash his first check. NBA, we'll start out with the humongous news. This never happens, Jared. We never get to talk about the huge breaking news the day it happens. It's usually after we're done.
Yeah, it usually happens in the afternoon.
That's right. The Thunder make a gigantic trade. We'll tell you who got what, where, why, how, what's next. The Bucks forced Game 7 last night. Rick Carlisle, 13 years in Dallas. He's done as the head coach down there with the Mavs. And then we talked some about Philly yesterday. But we didn't point the finger at one particular individual that we might need to with some numbers that I found yesterday in regards to them blowing that lead. So we'll get to that here off the top of the show. Good morning, Jared.
How are you, sir?
I'm actually pretty pumped up.
Well, there's probably very many reasons. Obviously, it's Friday, but why are you pumped up?
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
It's a cool Friday for us.
Cool. Like weather-wise?
No.
Oh, or for our little meeting.
We have a meeting at noon, and I don't think we have to come back. Or I hope not.
Well, some people might have to.
That's why I was here.
They don't get their work done.
That's why I was here to about 6:30 last night.
There you go.
To try to make sure that I didn't have to come back. Hope the forecast didn't change for the weekend.
What a beautiful Saturday, and it's storming outside.
Yeah, I'll probably need to check that before we go.
Yeah, double check that.
102
weather.
On Sunday, and the cold front blows in, and it's 70. Oopsie daisies.
I'm jealous of my kids right now. You know what they're doing?
Swimming.
Probably like right now.
Swimming.
They're on a lake.
Oh, nice.
On the boat.
That's what.
With my dad.
Wyatt and all of the cousins. That's what they did yesterday.
Oh, cool.
I took him to mom's before I got here yesterday morning. They ended up at my aunt's just across the way here, and about 10 of them were in the swimming pool all day long.
That's the way to do it. It's summer.
Kara picked him up and said he didn't have much to say. After 5 hours of swimming in the heat, he was pretty tired.
Yeah.
And texting with my mom. She was texting my mom last night about 8:30 or so, and my little nieces had already cashed her in and were asleep after the long day. So I'm sure that that worked out pretty well
my kids,
for all the parents.
They woke. They knew what was coming today. Had no trouble waking them up. And, man, they had plans First, we're going to go on the boat, and then we're going to go to the beach, and then we're going to look for seashells, and then we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to go back to the beach. And they just had it planned out. So, well, you might check with what Poppy wants to do. Poppy might want to get a nap in there.
Yeah, oh, Fred might get tired. That sounds like a pretty busy day.
Big day for him.
At some point, yeah. You know, that lunch at noon might lead to
a
nap at 1. It's like my grandparents were when they were out at that lake.
They're pretty excited.
Get up, go fishing, come back, have breakfast, tootle around, have a little lunch, and then all of a sudden, days of our lives, it's time to take a nap. Well, that's great. That is fantastic. It'd be fun there. All right. So, what a just crazy morning.
Yeah, I barely have it in park, and I get a text message.
Jeremy's texting us, this, and I was like, is this something that he's
suggesting that they
do? Thinking might happen? Is it that did he read this? And then, and as I put, for who? Horford? ? Dakota texted me, and he had the screenshot of the of the Woj bomb.
Right.
I was like, okay, well, I mean, you knew Horford had to be involved just because of the money.
Yeah.
That both of those guys make. So here's what happened. The Thunder have traded Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second round pick to Boston for Kemba Walker, the number 16 pick this year, a first rounder, and then the 2025 second rounder from Boston. Just on the surface, what are your thoughts about what the Thunder got back in return for Al Horford?
Well, I think I know what you were about to say, and I don't agree with you, but we'll get to you next. But I think that my initial reaction was, because we were always kind of wondering, and everybody in the state was kind of wondering, including our man Jim and his crew in the city, how long would the rebuild take? And a lot of people agreed you can't afford in this small market to have a multi-year rebuild. So this tells me it feels like the rebuild's over and they're going to attempt to start winning games as soon as next season with Kemba Walker wearing a Thunder jersey, hoping that his knee is okay and that he's healthy and all that. But I feel like he's going to be a part of this organization moving forward. And who knows, come trade deadline next spring, that might all change too. But that's my first initial reaction, is that Presti's done with the rebuild, and now the bricks are starting to be laid and moving forward. And instead of resting and shutting down players, it's go time.
Okay, that's fine.
Initial reaction, shooting from the hip, with the limited time I've had to process this, that's what I'm going with.
So, okay, that's fine. If that is the case, so we're thinking Kemba Walker is a piece moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Is he good enough if he's supposed to be the piece?
Yeah, 2-time All-Star. I think at his best, he's really good. The question is his knee, his health.
And also, okay, there's that, clearly, the knee.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the question I would have is, how does he fit with Shea?
It's a great question.
And I don't know the answer to that. You know what? I like that. I like him as a player. I really do. I think he's... But is he a guy, or is Shea a guy maybe that can play off the ball? We saw it a little bit when Chris Paul was here for that year.
Maybe that's what Sam's seeing too, or maybe it could do the other way around.
Can Kemba play off the ball?
Exactly.
With the ball in Shea's hands. Contractually, Walker has basically 2 years on his contract after this one. So he makes $35 million this year. Next year in 21-22. That jumps up to 36, and then he's got a $37.6 million player option in 22-23. So he's one plus one, but it's his option. So basically a 2-year contract is what he's got. I you're right. I disagree with you. I don't think he's ever going to play a game here. Now, I thought that about Chris Paul too, and he ended up playing an entire year.
Yeah.
And I thought Curtis brought up something that is right on the money, or maybe it was Kerry when I was driving over here, about how, you know, because it's being reported now that Walker got sideways even last year when his name came up in trade rumors around the deadline. And he got crossways then and, of course, battled injuries all this season. But it's amazing how Oklahoma City has become like the, And they compared it to the Nick Saban coach's rehabilitation thing. Think of all the guys that have come here, and none of them have left thinking worse of them than when they got here.
Mm-hmm.
Schroeder, Melo to a certain extent, yeah. Obviously Chris Paul, and then now Al Horford. You know, when this, think about this. So the Thunder traded Horford away for Kemba Walker and a first-round pick. You know what they gave up to get Horford? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Danny Green, Terrence Ferguson, and Vincent Poirier. I think that's how you say it. You know what they got? Just last year, Horford, a 2025 first-rounder, last year's second-rounder, which is now Théo Maledon, and the rights to Vasily Micic, which is one of those guys over there in Europe that probably won't ever come, but he's like a really, really good player in Europe.
Right.
So that's what they got with Horford. And then when they traded him away, they got Kemba in the first round. Listen, I know they were buddies from back in the day when he was at Butler. But there's definitely a new sheriff in town in Boston, because there's no chance in hell Danny Ainge is making this trade.
No.
Because it would appear that he would have lost it. And so he just wouldn't trade. Brad Stevens, on the other hand, has identified somebody that he wanted. And obviously he was the coach when Horford was there. And Horford played really well in Boston, it seemed like to me. Fit what they're doing.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's why OKC wanted him when he was in Atlanta, but he chose Boston.
That's right.
Over it.
Yeah, and so, you know, that all seems to make a bunch of sense for him to be there. But, man, so you get him, and you say, well, yeah, we'll take Al Horford, but you better give us a first-rounder. And then when you ship him, you go, yeah, we'll trade you Al Horford, but you better give us a first-rounder. It's amazing the trades that he's able to pull off. Now, does it end up mattering in the end? Well, we'll see. Either how they're packaged or who's picked with all of these picks. But there is no doubt Sam Presti is some kind of wizard and be able to extract picks in trades from these teams. And I don't know how he does it. Nobody else does it, though.
Well, let me go devious here. Did Sam take advantage of Brad Stevens' first opportunity to make a trade?
I don't think so.
Did he take advantage of a kid in his first GM spot and go, you know what? I can squeeze out a first-round pick from this guy.
I really don't think so. I would not be shocked whatsoever if this trade wasn't already a possibility back at the deadline or even last summer. You know what I'm saying? I think this trade was already.
Feels like Horford could have been traded at any moment.
And to Boston because it made sense.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if Stevens, I mean, even as just the coach, he's got to get wind of this stuff. Or, you know, Ainge running it by him. Hey, what do you think about this? Presti's offering da-da-da for da-da-da.
Certainly hope so.
And I think as a coach, he's probably thinking, yeah, Horford fits perfect. Let's get him. So now when he has a chance to pull the trigger, boom, he does it. Because think of this. How many – I mean, obviously normally here and really in Boston over the last decade, you haven't seen trades during the playoffs. Now, one of the reasons is both teams are usually playing still into the second round. This year they're not. But for it to come together at this particular time, it leads me to believe this trade was already on the table. It just needed the change between Ainge and Stevens to make it say yes.
To pull the trigger on it.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, okay, back to Kemba. It's really interesting because he has proven that he's a good player, as you said, two-time All-Star when he's healthy. How does he fit with Shea here? And then also, he makes the money, but it's short-term. And that's the one thing about it where I could see, okay, you know, Shea will get extended at some point here in the near future. But you're not going to have big, giant salary cap problems or even luxury tax issues because a majority of the guys that you're going to be playing are going to be so young, they're not making anything.
Right.
And, of course, the Dort contract, which is just ridiculous in your favor for as good a player he is. So, in that aspect, I can see them hanging on to him. Because, well, for one, you have to hit the salary floor at some point. And, you know, with these guys making nothing. I started thinking, okay, who would want him? Who would want Kemba Walker? And what could the Thunder get back for him? Maybe he has to prove at the first of next season that he is healthy. But like I texted you guys, I don't think he's ever playing a game in the Thunder uniform. I don't. I think this is setting up something else.
I think, like I said, I think he does play, but then come trade deadline next year, he could be dealt. Because he's going to have to prove that he's still a very valuable piece in this league. Right? Kind of like an audition.
Maybe.
You know? I mean, he missed how many 20-plus games last season?
Yeah, he's only 31.
Still fairly young.
So that's,
I think potential's there. And it's funny, it's something about Oklahoma City. You get players here, and it's, for lack of a better term, a rehab center for them, like a fountain of youth for them. Something triggers them. You know, maybe it's the culture. Maybe it's the coaching staff. I don't know what it is, but it always and that's such an advantage for Presti, because he just suddenly upped their value to be traded to get something back. That's a great question. I don't think we have that answer immediately. Like, where would he fit? Who needs him? I don't think we know that until even these playoffs are done.
Yeah, the playoffs. I mean, good God, the lottery's next Tuesday. This is pretty wild.
Okay, how about this? Who had a surprising run who's always looking to upgrade? The Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're already hearing trade rumors involving the Knicks.
For sure.
They want, I mean, their first, what I've read and heard, their first number one priority is to get Dame Lillard.
Yeah, and if you can't get Dame Lillard.
Who do you go to next? And then who do you go to next?
Right.
And who do you go to next?
It's kind of a poor man's Dame Lillard.
It feels like Kemba Walker could be on that list.
Yeah, you always kind of hear his name at Boston or at Miami.
Yeah.
They kind of disappointing this year. You know, is that a spot for him?
Yeah, I mean, Miami, they're disappointing this year. They want to get back to where they were last year. Knicks, they feel like they're a piece away from making the next step to being relevant in NBA again.
And you know who wasn't very good this year that you couldn't possibly kind of derail the Gallinari trade to Miami a couple of years ago? Tyler Hero. You extract Tyler Hero from the Heat now where you couldn't before?
Very interesting.
With Walker. And by the way,
it seems like every trade, though, goes to picks. Returns picks.
Or young guys.
Or young guys, and you go, who? Oh, yeah, he's a nice player.
So, pick-wise, the Thunder are now going to have three first-rounders.
Amazing.
They've got their pick, they've got this 16th pick, and then they will have either Houston's at number 5 or Miami's at number 18. That's those two are set in stone, because the only way you get Houston's is if it's in the top, if it's outside the top four, and the furthest they can fall is 5. So if you get Houston's pick, it has to be number 5.
Right.
And then now yours can be higher than that. Yours could also be lower than that, depending on how the lottery shakes out.
First thing I did when I sat down at my desk, I went to Takeathon and I clicked Sim one time, put him at OKC at number 1.
And Houston at 5?
And it was the dream scenario.
And Houston
5. They were not 5.
See, that's not the dream scenario. The dream
I think any dream scenario involves number 1.
Who would they draft number 1?
Oh, man. It goes back to system. Who fits into the system?
I wonder how
and
much.
Then, and it's going to be very telling. Come draft night, if Kemba Walker's still technically on the Thunder roster, who they draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's not going to keep them from taking Jalen Suggs if they like him the best.
True.
In my mind.
Or if they go big, like Mobley?
Doesn't this seem like a move to where they are all in on figuring out a way to get him?
Feels like it.
Or do they just love Poku? I'd love to know what they thought about Poku. In the first year. This is fascinating. This is why it's fun. You know, the tanking sucked, but now it's led to some fun stuff. And we're here now.
Well, I guess I'm excited. It's like I said in my first thoughts. I'm excited to know. To me, it's telling me we're not going to have another year like we just had.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't believe that at all. And, we talked about that ad nauseum toward the end of the season of, can they afford to do it again?
We went into this season, we buckled up, said, okay, let's go, let's tank. And it was a nice start to the year. I was like, what are we doing? And then they started the tank, and And lo and behold, here we are. And then the questions of, like we said, do they continue to do it? I think that's been answered today.
Oh,
I don't think they do.
And I think, and also, I also think one of the things that, that helped to lead them in that direction was the fact that Shea was way better than I think they may have thought this year. Dort was better than they thought. And so you get to a point where, okay, we're not just going to not play our guys ever again like we did this year. We can't do that again. And so we're too good to tank. Our tanking could lead us to the very bottom of the lottery. That doesn't do you any good anyway, so yeah. We might as well start the process back the other way. And that Horford contract, and I believe the Walker contract, are going to help with that because those guys are pretty good players, and the length of their contract isn't that long. I mean, you could see somebody taking on Kemba, him being good, and then re-signing him for less money in more years, and it working out great.
Yeah.
You know, at only 31. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's not even draft night yet. It's not even lottery yet.
No.
This is draft night is normally when we're all buckled in on Twitter, refresh for the Woj bombs.
Yeah.
And then we get up. I was just getting dressed when Jeremy texted us. I was like, what? No way. It's not time for this yet, Sam.
Hey, I know a lot of times we have a lot of topics and we run out of time. Please save time for what's on Jared's
mind. Oh, good.
Because I have a good one.
All right, real quick on the games last night. The Bucks forced game 7 against the Nets. Chris Middleton and Giannis were simply fantastic. They both had 30. Giannis had 30 and 17. Middleton with 38 and 10.
When you go to the box score, what's your eyes immediately go to?
Shooting percentage.
Mine's plus minus.
Yeah, I mean, in a game by game, I think that it can be a little bit tricky sometimes, mm-hmm. just depending on how the game went when you're on the floor. But
I go plus minus, and then I go turnovers.
Yeah, always see who shot it the best, and these guys did. They combined for 30 on 60% shooting combined when facing elimination. Only two other duos in the last 30 years have done that. Any guesses?
No. Less how many years?
30.
Come on, man. I'm 37.
Two other duos.
You got to help me.
One of them would be really hard to get, even though it was the most recent. Last year, Murray and Jokic in the bubble against Utah.
Oh, okay.
The other one was also against Utah in 1995.
Wow, well, MJ and Scotty.
Nope, MJ wasn't playing basketball then.
Oh, 95.
Yep.
I was thinking 96. I don't know. Go.
Clyde the Glide and Hakeem the Dream.
No, I would have never guessed that.
So the Bucks forced game 7. Harden looked a little bit better. But it's kind of KD and everybody else. Joe Harris has been awful after being the best three-point shooter in the league this year. He's been pretty terrible. And KD's going to need some help. I mean, it's just the bottom line. Hey, whether it comes from Harden, whether it doesn't look like Kyrie's going to be back, is it Joe Harris? Is it Blake? Is it Jeff Green like it was the other day? But, you know, he's 1 of 4 from three again for Harris. That's just not good enough. And then because they traded for Harden, their bench is so light because all their depth got traded away.
Yep.
And so it comes down to, you know, starters helping Kevin Durant. Jeff Green couldn't do it again, 2 of 9. It's not surprising because, you know, those role players play better at home than they do on the road. But give Giannis and especially Chris Middleton tons of credit. They showed up when they had to. And it's funny to look at that box score because as much as Brooklyn's bench isn't very good, Milwaukee's had 4 of the 104. So that's pretty interesting.
Interesting a lot.
Rick Carlisle out in Dallas. You're starting to hear a bunch of crazy stuff coming out of there. Luka, Kristaps.
Yeah.
The Donnie Nelson was out after 23 years. He stepped away. Now Carlisle steps away.
Yeah, Luka didn't really like the Nelson thing.
No, and is everybody revolting against people in the organization that like Porzingis? Is that what's happening? So they're leaving? I mean, wouldn't you just say, hey, trade him? I know he was a target that we'd heard for the Thunder with Al Horford.
Right.
To get to shed that contract. But It's really interesting to see what's going on around there with these long-time
Dallas has
guys
to, they need to
going
be
away.
Very careful because if you start to leave a little sour taste in Luka's mouth, you got to be very, very, very careful. So this coaching hire is going to be very interesting. Is it going to be a guy Luka wants and agrees with and signs off on?
Well,
or is
you'd
he
think
just going
to
wake up like we
be.
Did and find out the news?
You'd think it'd have to be. Otherwise, you do. You risk the alienating him. And here's the problem. Once you alienate one of those super-duper stars, it doesn't seem to ever get repaired. They leave. They force you to trade them because they get mad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting situation. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Rick Carlisle isn't named the head coach at Boston.
Oh, that'd be a good fit. I think anybody would be lucky to have him.
He has some history. I think he's a great coach. One of the better ones in the league for a long time now. 13 years at Dallas.
But
third all-time winningest coach in the league.
All the openings in the NBA, what do we got? Portland, Boston, New Orleans, Dallas. I know there's more.
Indiana. Orlando. Did you say Orlando?
I did not.
Aren't they still open? There was Washington.
Washington. Brooks was out. We didn't mention that earlier.
There was six or seven before Dallas. I think there's seven or eight right now.
Well, I got seven right there if Orlando hasn't been filled. Okay, all of those right now, you know who's in the lead to have those jobs? Becky Hammons.
Yeah, no.
It's tongue-in-cheek, man.
Yeah, no. I'd go.
But you know that's her name will be brought up in every conversation of every opening that
Yeah, rumor happens. That I was hearing on the air yesterday, the day before, was that Terry Stotts to Indiana is a pretty good chance of happening. So he'll jump from Portland to Indiana.
I can see that.
Following in Kevin Pritchard's footsteps, who was the GM at one point up there in Portland as well. So, and by the way, okay, Doc Rivers, real quick. We mentioned everything that was wrong with Philly except for Doc yesterday in that horrible collapse. In the last two playoff seasons, okay, a Doc Rivers coach team, which would have been the Clippers last year and Philly this year, they are 11-5. When leading at any point in the game by 16 or more, 11-5. You know what the rest of the league is in a similar situation when leading by 16 at any point?
A lot and a little.
76-3.
Oh, my goodness, Doc.
Doc, now think back to that Thunder series with the Clippers in 2014 when they blew game five right here with a chance to take a 3-2 lead up, what, eight with the minute left or something and blew it?
Yep.
Doc. What's going on, Doc? What's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc?
All right, there's NBA. Thunder. Even when the Thunder doesn't make the playoffs, they're right in the middle of it. I wonder how boring it'd be if Sam Presti wasn't the GM of the team that you're closest to.
I don't know. We'd talk about Oklahoma City Dodgers or something.
I mean, it's just you just never know. Out of nowhere, bam, Kemba Walker in the first rounder. Crazy. U.S. Open in a contest up in the northern part of Oklahoma for the U.S. Open. Picking players. I had choices. I had my team filled out except for one last guy. You get to pick eight guys. And the eighth pick I had came down between two players. And it was Justin Rose, former U.S. Open champ, and Louis Oosthuizen. And I went with Justin Rose, and if I was in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, I would have already had my skin melted off my face because I chose poorly. 11 shots in one round, poorly. Justin Rose, 7 over 78, while there's King Louis at the top of the leaderboard at 4 under through the first round. Womp, 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 womp. Anyhow, the U.S. Open leaderboard first round is basically complete. Sebastian Munoz has a hole to play, and the reason I mention him is because he's toward the top of the leaderboard. If you guys have three or four holes to play, but the second round has gotten underway as well for some of the guys that finished this morning or late last night. Couple tied at the top for the lead, Louis Oosthuizen and Russell Henley at 4 under. A trio of guys at 3 under, Sebastian Munoz, Francesco Molinari, and Rafa Cabrera-Bello. 48-year-old Brit, Richard Bland.
Trio.
Is 2 under. He's birdied a hole to start the second round. Also at 2 is where the heavy hitters are on this leaderboard. Hideki Matsuyama, the reigning Masters champ. You got John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele. One under par is the likes of Adam Scott, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, Rick Lamb.
Who?
I don't know. Eduardo Molinari. So the fighting Molinaris are three under and one under through round one.
Molinari.
There's two sets of brothers in this thing.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
It is Eduardo and Francesco Molinari, and the others are the Ortiz, Carlos and Alvaro. Unfortunately for Carlos and Alvaro, I've scrolled pretty far down the leaderboard, and I either missed them or haven't found them.
We got a lost brother.
We got, well, there's Alvaro. Alvaro fired 82.
I won't do it.
He beat one guy, Steve Allen. And Carlos. Carlos is the one you know the most. He's had some decent finishes on the PGA Tour, so he's probably a little bit. There he is, 4 over 75. Anyhow, some other guys, Lee Westwood, Paul Casey, Sergio, world number one Dustin Johnson, even par through round one. The one overs, Scottie Scheffler, Bubba Watson, Pat Reed, Cam Smith, Brandon Grace, Charlie Hoffman, Wilco Nienaber. I don't know how to say his name. Do you know who he is?
No.
He is the dude that hits it further than Bryson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a South African, young South African guy. Wilco Nienaber. Anyhow. Tommy Fleetwood, Harris English, Shane Lowry. By the way, Shane Lowry had it pretty good. You know why?
Why is that?
You know what he still is?
No.
The reigning Open champion. Because they didn't play last year.
Oh.
So he had a two-year run as the Open champ. There's Shane Lowry. All right, the two overs. Bryson.
These are projected cut, right? When you get about two over.
Yeah, let's see. Right now it would be tied 59th. So you probably double that. Cut will be three or four over, maybe five, depending on how tough it plays today. Abraham Answers there at two. I forgot Matthew Wolf. Okay, so Matthew Wolf ended up at one under par, former Oklahoma State player. Did you see his scorecard? Did you happen to check that scorecard?
I didn't check the scorecard. I've just been kind of hearing where he's at.
He shot one under with eight birdies.
Oh, man.
He had eight birdies, three bogeys, two doubles, and five pars. I got a little news flash for Matthew Wolf. If he only makes five pars again today, he ain't shooting in the red figures.
No.
That's not the way it works at the U.S. Open normally. I think he was the first guy with eight birdies in a round at the U.S. Open since Mike Weir in 2001. Some guys are disappointed. I tried to tell you, folks. I tried. Justin Thomas, by the way, one of the two overs. Matt Kuchar, Kevin Kisner. I tried to tell you. Okay? I even offered for you to pay me money. If you were going to try to bet on this guy. Phil, four over. Probably fortunate to shoot that. Colin Morikawa was four over as well. Victor Hovland was three over. Will Zalatoris, four over. And some guys that were even worse than that. Jordan Spieth shot 6 over 77. So that's kind of the leaderboard update there for the U.S. Open. Second round, starting as the first round, is finishing up out at Torrey Pines. Do you think it needs to play tougher? Four under leading the U.S. Open after one round. Do you feel comfortable with that?
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be any tougher. You said the roughs are pretty bad. I
mean, the rough is thick.
Thick. I mean, how tough is that? I mean, you got to hit the fairway. I mean, you're asking these guys to hit the fairway every time. You're getting that rough, and you're in some trouble. I don't think it needs to be any tougher. Are you talking more, length?
I can't. You hardly get longer. It's 7,600 at sea level. That's long golf course.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think? Do you think it needs to be tougher?
I think it remains to be seen. The lead in 2008 after round one was three under. And the finishing total that was a playoff between Tiger and Rocco was minus one. So I think that's probably the way it goes. I think four under maybe, you know, maybe somebody shoots a couple under today and then comes back after that on the weekend. I think part of the reason the scores were so good was because of the marine layer. It put a little bit of moisture back into the greens early on, and they weren't able to really get firm and fast like they will over the weekend. So I'm not too concerned about it. That rough around the greens is ridiculous. I mean, it is. not only hitting the fairways, but just barely off the green. It's huge, huge, thick rough. It's a different grass. The Kikuyu grass is sticky. So you can't, you know, any decel is just going to pop out and not do anything. So leaderboard wise, is there anybody that you're surprised either played well, or are you surprised it didn't play well?
I think Wolf is a guy we didn't even mention yesterday, and we probably should have.
He hadn't played in 2 months. How could you?
Yeah, it's a good point. That's a surprise right there. Can he continue? I mean, let's be honest. He's lucky to be where he's at with everything that you mentioned.
Or he could have shot 62. You know what I mean? With his good holes.
You know, Adam Scott, you know, former Masters champ, and there he is. And you know, there's the usual suspects of Jon Rahm and Brooks Koepka. We expected to be there. Disappointed in Victor Hovland. I figured he'd have a better first day.
He got off to a good start, too. He chipped in on number two. It seemed like he was under par for quite a while in the first nine or so. And then, kind of fell back. Shot three over on the back nine. So he's even par through nine holes. That's one of those. Justin Thomas, I wondered to myself, even though we didn't, nobody picked him, I wondered if we were going to kind of rue the day we didn't, because you didn't hear much about him going in. But he shot two over. Rory was kind of the same way, but he went the other way at one under. If there was a guy, okay, let me ask you this. If there was a guy, and you can't trade out like somebody that played like crap, like you can't trade out Phil, but even guys that played well,
I can't. Come on,
is there a guy you'd trade out, or want to put into your picks? Because let's see, I had Brooks, X, and Rahm.
Go ahead.
That was my three with Lee Westwood as the dark horse. Who was yours?
Did you write down mine?
I can't remember who you had. Brooks. I know you had Koepka.
I had Rahm one.
You just didn't have X. Who did you have instead of? We'll have to go back and listen.
I have to go back and listen. I had it written down and I lost it. Who would I trade out? Who would I put in there?
Mm-hmm.
I got a feeling about DJ.
Yeah, he's even par.
I have a feeling today he might make a move.
So that's where I'm at with Rory. The one time you don't pick him, one time I don't pick him, and here he is at one under. It's the first time I'm sure there are times that I'm just forgetting, but it feels like the first time in a while where he hadn't shot himself out of it in round one. It feels like he's been 75, 76, a bunch of round ones, and then fought back sort of into contention, but he kind of was out of it after the first round. That didn't happen yesterday.
Right.
So, but I feel pretty good about the rest of those guys. Feel good about Rahm. Feel really good about X. Really good about Xander Schauffele. Really, really, really good. By the way, Korn Ferry Tour.
Yes.
Quade Cummins. Quade Cummins yesterday, man, he was 5 under with like five to play in round one. He shot 31 on his first nine ever as a pro on the back nine. 5 under with 6 to play. Five to play. He made a bogey and a double coming in, but he shoots 2 under 68. That puts him right now in a tie for 52nd, which is dead on the cut line. So, you know, you'd think another round of a couple under, he'd make the cut. And if he could do even better than that, maybe he can get himself up into contention a little bit over the weekend. Austin Eckroat, former Oklahoma State player, tied 10th at 6 under. He had a really good finish last week in the top 10. So those young guys from Oklahoma that we saw play a ton of college golf, starting out their professional careers pretty nicely as well. Up in Wichita and there, look at there, tied 2nd. You know who it is?
Who's that?
Garrett Reband.
Oh, really?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, of course.
That guy couldn't hit it out of his shadow in the national championship. Here he is, 8 under.
Oh, man.
Tied 2nd. That's crazy. Peter Uline as well, former Oklahoma State player. And Michael Gellerman of OU leading. What a way. Wow. Jared?
Yeah.
You ask and you shall receive.
You're giving me a ton of time.
10 minutes.
Wow. I don't know if I need 10.
Okay, what's on your mind?
The point to get my point across. But I'm going to fashion up like an application, like if you're applying for a job.
Uh-huh.
And this application, we'll put it on our Facebook page or website or something. It's for those Thunder fans that jumped ship and that went back on. You got to reapply. And we'll see if we can let you back in. Because there's a bunch of Thunder fans that said, I don't want to be a part of this organization anymore if they're going to lose every game. That's not what we – they didn't understand. They were short-sighted. They didn't see the process. They don't understand what goes on here. And now all of a sudden I think they're going to want back in after today's early news and what appears to be the winning culture could be returning to Thunderland. So I'm going to fashion up a little application. So we need some questions. You know, what kind of questions should be on there? Not like quiz questions, like, you know what I mean? How long have you been a Thunder fan? And when they put forever, go, no, you quit being a Thunder fan. So wrong answer. And then we'll maybe have an interview process. Because a lot of Thunder fans jump ship. So-called Thunder fans. They said, I'm done with it. I'm out. And I kept thinking to myself, and I see it proclaiming that they were done with the Thunder via their Facebook or Twitter feeds. I'm thinking, you're not done. You'll be back. You'll be back when they start winning. My point to all this is don't be that fan for any sport, any organization, any college team. Don't be that fan.
You know, it's interesting because the idea of bandwagon fans is out there. Why does it bother everybody so bad?
Like me?
Yeah.
Like why? The whole bandwagon thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. It bothers me when people say they're done and then they return. It doesn't bother me that when somebody says, okay, for instance, I bet you OU softball gained a lot of fans this year.
Yeah.
A lot of people who were never fan of one OU or B, the sport, and they jumped on. I'm actually okay with that. More the merrier. But I would offer this word of caution. It's not always going to be like that for OU softball. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be valleys, and then there will be peaks. But if you want to be a fan, stay on for the entire ride.
It's hard to convince me of that right now. Looks to me like it's going to just be simple for OU softball all the time.
Well, that was just using them as an example. Maybe OU football was a better example. How many people jumped off the ship in the mid-90s?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And then return. You know, that's the point I'm making with the Thunder.
It just makes you sound like a soccer fan. And I don't want to be a soccer fan.
Soccer fan?
Yeah.
How's that?
Where they say they want the sport to be huge and all that, but then when you decide, okay, so I don't know anything about soccer, I think I'll like Manchester United. And then they get mad at you for liking the good team or whatever.
The biggest team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only one we know.
True.
Anyway.
But no, that's not what I'm saying.
That's where, with the new fans is what I'm talking about.
With the new fans.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, of course, if you watch it, you're going to go, you know what's pretty fun?
I mean.
Oklahoma. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of fans
and that's okay.
Of the NFL.
My point is that's okay.
No, I'm okay
But does softball fan get mad about it? Oh, well, you're just glomming on to the best team.
Yeah.
Like the soccer people do. Soccer people just wear me out. Just in general.
I think the
fandom of soccer.
I think we're all aware of that.
And it makes it to where it's just, okay, well, guess what? I won't watch.
Yeah, well.
Whoop-de-doo.
But the Thunder thing, there are a lot of people. I kept silent about it. There's a lot of people who were done with the Thunder. Going way back even after Durant left, there was some that said, oh, that's because Presti couldn't keep him here. I'm done with this organization.
Yeah. Don't let him get you down, Jared. That's all I can tell you. Don't let him get you down. You can be the fan you want to be.
Oh,
and
I am.
Don't let them bother you.
I am, but I just see it.
And when we're hanging out.
See others, and I'm like, okay, now
later
you're
on
a
in
fan
life,
again. All right.
Sure later on in life when we're hanging out on the podium during the championship parade, then you can point and laugh and say, see, if you'd have been here the whole time, you'd be up here with us. Because we still have had our Thunder Up card and never get let loose of it.
Think we'll ever be invited to the podium?
I don't think so, but it'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Here's a great question on the text line.
Yes.
To think about. Do you hate or like Kevin Durant?
Do I hate or like?
Yep.
You're giving me one of two answers here I have to give?
Yeah.
Well, hate's a strong word.
But I think it applies for most Thunder fans.
Yeah.
I think you could probably say their disdain for Kevin Durant reached, if not still reaches, a hatred level.
Oh, that's an application question. I see.
So where are you at with Kevin Durant?
Do I hate or like Kevin Durant? I feel like I'm painted in the corner here. I can't answer. How do you answer that?
Oh, man. Now that he's not on the Warriors, I start to find myself, like, not rooting for him, but not being upset when he does good.
Exactly.
And here's the truth of it. Coming off that injury, you have to be able to appreciate his greatness.
I want to see Kevin Durant succeed by himself. Is this making sense? I know he had a lot of help in OKC. He had Westbrook. He had Ibaka. Perk. He had a bunch of help. Harden. He had a bunch of help in OKC. But the way he left Oklahoma City made us all, not just us in Oklahoma, but the rest of the nation go, wait a minute. You're leaving a good spot to go to a better spot.
And
you
the
don't
one that
need
just
to
beat
be
you.
On that team.
And the one that just beat you.
Yeah. But now he's in Brooklyn, and it appeared he's assembling another super team. And then when Kyrie went down and Harden went down, of course, the historic game he had, I'm like, I'm okay with that. That's greatness. That's greatness, what you're doing right there. So, do I hate the guy? No. Do I hate how he left? Yes.
Even if all three of those guys end up healthy and they win the title, it doesn't seem as dirty to me as the others.
Because he went to an already established team.
And one that just beat him.
Exactly. So, to answer the question, I don't hate Kevin Durant. I hate how he left.
And that's never going to change.
That's the root of everybody's disdain for Kevin, is how he left.
Yeah, probably the root of it. But then he's continued to kind of dig himself a hole. With the different answers and all the burners and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's an easy guy to dislike outside of just leaving.
Right.
The way he left in Oklahoma City. He still made it pretty easy to dislike him continually. So.
You know what, while we're on my mind, you know what stood out to me, Barry Trammell, in his today's blog post.
About Kevin Durant.
No.
Different one.
This is college football related. And it made a good point, and I didn't realize it. OSU football is actually going to start their season on a Saturday. It's been like Thursdays for the last few years.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's good. That's good for Stillwater. That's good for OSU football. Right? I like that.
It is. It's great.
Yeah. Because OU will be on the road at Tulane.
That's right.
OSU will be at home. They'll be the big show in the state.
Oh, darn.
What's that? You look like you've...
Oh, I'm in the wrong round. So wait a minute. Darn it. Hideki Matsuyama started out bogey or double bogey in the second round.
Oh, darn.
I don't dislike Hideki.
I never
who do you want to win? Okay, right now, if you who's going to win? U.S. Open after round one. Do you change your mind? Who is going to win? One guy.
No, John Rahm.
Yeah.
I think he has a big 2 and 3 rounds, and he sets himself up nicely for Sunday. No, I don't. I'm not going away from John Rahm.
I've never felt more confident in my picks.
I tell you, it's not going to be.
Phil, I tried to tell you. I tried to tell you.
Hey, guess what?
All the way back on Tuesday, I tried to tell you people, it's not Phil.
You know what else I've told you?
What?
Game 7. Go Philly!
Oh, yeah, Philly. Listen, you win because I'm not doing it that way.